The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hey guys, it's Danny. So we love bringing you this weekly true crime content, but because it's so sensitive, we definitely need your help in order to keep our show running.
So we have something super exciting to announce.
We have a Patreon coming. It's actually dropping today. I'm so excited about it. So we definitely need your support in this. If you do love listening to us weekly, we unfortunately can't continue the show if we don't have this kind of take off. So I definitely would encourage you, if you like listening to us weekly, if you want to hear more from us, please support us in this, because this is our baby. We really love this show and we really love bringing you episodes and more awareness around certain true crimes.
And we have so many exciting things for you in our Patreon, too.
This is just the initial few things that we have thought about, but we have so much more planned that's coming. But early right now, we're going to be dropping episodes audio as of Mondays.
So and they're ad-free.
Ad-free and 2 days earlier, so that's great. On Thursdays, we'll be doing a Q&A and a live stream, so we get to talk about the episode, what we thought about it. You guys can tell us always in the comments. You guys are telling us things that we didn't even know about these true crimes, so we can have a discussion.
Yeah, I was going to say, we always have so many additional thoughts, too, after the fact, just after reading your comments. We're like, wait, yeah, we want to look into that with you, so.
Yeah, and on Fridays, we'll be dropping additional content like backstage content or blooper reels of the two of us and what we come up with during the shows that we can't always show you guys.
It's not enough time always. And I think that's what's great about Patreon is it gives us that additional interaction with you all. And we're so excited to be part of it with you.
Yeah, the interaction and the freedom to have more of a community as well, because we kind of have that, I find, on YouTube, but I kind of want to branch it out more.
Trigger warning, the following episode contains descriptions of graphic violence and adult language. Viewer discretion is advised.
I'm Danielle.
I'm Max.
And each Wednesday, we crack open a bottle of wine and dive in to some thrills, chills, and spills. This is Innocent Till Tipsy.
So it has been almost a year since film star Alec Baldwin fatally shot 42-year-old cinematographer Helena Hutchins with a gun that was meant to be used as a prop.
I can't believe it's been a year.
I know. It was October. Yeah. So like we've still got a couple months, but it's wild to me. I remember calling my mom and being like, Alec Baldwin killed someone. Like, I can't believe this.
I remember seeing it on TV and being like, trying to read, being like, what? He killed, in a movie or like, yeah. It was so strange.
Wild. And I hate that a lot of news sources keep calling it a prop gun. It wasn't a prop gun from looking into this. It was a real actual gun on this set.
Like by a prop, do they just mean it's at a movie? Like, yeah, it's like a real gun.
It's supposed to be used as a prop or like,
right.
Clearly so it's a proper revolver. We'll get into the specifics on that as we go. And it also injured the director, Joel Souza, which I feel like that's not really touched on at all. It's mostly just that Atlanta passed away. This was on the set of the movie Rust, which is a movie I didn't know this about this movie at all. Rust is actually the character that Alec Baldwin plays in the movie that this has been put obviously on hold. I don't know if they'll ever finish it, but it was a low budget Western with an aging cowboy on the run with his 13-year-old grandson. Obviously, at the time this made worldwide news, there's still an ongoing investigation into what exactly happened, how a live round made it onto the movie set, because it wasn't like the killing of Brandon Lee, you know, in 1993, where something was like wedged in that gun and it shot off.
Wrong.
Yeah, it was a live round, which is illegal to have on movie sets. Trying to piece the story together has been a headache because it's still ongoing. So like every news source I looked at, it was like, here's what we know now. And it's like all these pieces of a ever moving, ever evolving story. But as of right now, Tuesday, August 30th, I've tried to compile it so that we can understand what is going on with the story and what we know about it now. Obviously, there's been a lot of discourse concerning the impact of this event. Safety concerns about how notoriously dangerous Hollywood sets are have come back to the surface. It's also turned into a political debate, which I think is interesting, around gun laws in our country. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially since Alec Baldwin is a super loud liberal who has been so avid in support of gun control across our country. A lot of people have clinged on to that and been like, yeah, but you shot someone, you know, on a set. Crazy tweets have resurfaced from 2017 where he said, I wonder how it must feel to wrongfully kill someone, .. Eek. And he had, I know, a link to a news article of a police officer who'd fatally shot a suspect outside of a 7-Eleven. And it feels like for a while, everyone and their dog had an opinion of what Alex should have done and what the process would have been. And it really kind of ignored the fact that a set is a working, a movie set has a lot of components to it. And Alec Baldwin, maybe not who we're supposed to be focusing on.
Yeah. Yeah. I've like briefly read some of the news articles that you shared, and I'm so excited to discuss this today because there's so many different angles to this.
I think someone should be held criminally responsible for this, and I don't think it's Alec Baldwin personally after looking at this. I think Alec should be held responsible for civil suits, which he also believes he should be held responsible for.
Because there was a death, yeah.
There was a death, but I think someone needs to be held criminally responsible, and we'll touch on who that someone I believe is.
You mentioned it's illegal for them to have live rounds on a movie set. So that's like if someone were to get hurt when there's something that's more than negligence, it's something illegal happened first.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So just touching on how everybody had an opinion on this when it first happened and we had little to no information about what actually happened on the set. George Clooney called the accidental shooting, quote unquote, insane, infuriating, talking about obviously the safety and how Alex should have personally checked the gun himself. To former President Trump had something to say on this too, which I thought was funny because if you remember, Alex was doing that SNL. You remember he was playing Donald Trump during the election and everything, right? So I just thought it was funny. I wanted to put his quote in. So he's a troubled guy. There's something wrong with him. I've watched him for years. He gets into fist fights with reporters. He's a cuckoo bird. He's a nut job. And usually when there's somebody like that, you know, in my opinion, he had something to do with it. But if nothing else, how do you take a gun and just, whether it's loaded or not, how do you take a gun, point it at somebody that's not even in the movie, and just point it at this person, pull the trigger, and now she's dead? It's weird. Who would take a gun and point it at the cinematographer and pull the trigger, and she's dead? As bad as it may be, may have been kept, meaning, you know, people take care of the equipment and the guns and everything else, but even if it was loaded, that's a weird thing. Maybe he loaded it. There's something wrong with him. He's a sick guy. I mean, I've seen him for years because he did, I thought, a poor job in imitating me.
That's, I like how you read it because that's basically, how it probably sounded in real life. Oh my, there's so much there too. Like,
well, he didn't know, obviously, from
me looking into this. Might be a little salty about being imitated.
Obviously, from looking into this, he knew nothing about what happened on that set that day. And I feel like a lot of us didn't. I didn't. It was actually your suggestion for us to look into this case. I had no concept of any of this.
Because I wanted you to research it so I could figure out what's going on.
What the hell is going on? I didn't know. And I feel like with this, I don't think it's a question of politics. I kind of side with George Clooney on the safety concerns in this. I feel like trusting Alec, well, Alec trusted a crew member who called the gun a cold gun, that it was a cold gun, meaning there was no charge in it, meaning it was just dummy rounds, which have nothing inside them, and not a charge, because there's dummies and blanks. Blanks have a charge, apparently, to them, with that little spark. But why was Alec handling a firearm if he was not taught to handle it safely? Like, that's another thing. And I think we'll dive into a little bit of what he knew about guns and what he told police he knew about guns, because it seems like it's basically nothing. And that's a concern if you're handling a weapon on the set, whether it has blanks or not. And then I think what also really rubbed people the wrong way about this and why Alec received a lot of criticism concerning this, he went on like the defensive press tour very shortly after
right
this.
Right after.
Mm-hmm. And I think what we need to remember as a public is Alec Baldwin most likely has a huge team of people around him. So I'm not sure how much of that was his insight into what was going on to like his people being like, you need to get out there. you need to face this. You've got to do X, Y, and Z. You know what I mean? In order to cover your ass.
Get kind ahead of thing of this. Yeah.
Yeah. So the shooting happened on October 21st, 2020. This was a Thursday afternoon. And by Friday morning, he had tweeted his initial statement. It said, "There are no words to convey my shock and sadness regarding this tragic accident that took the life of Helena Hutchins, a wife, a mother, and a deeply admired colleague of ours. I'm fully cooperating with the police investigation to address how this tragedy occurred. And I am in touch with her husband, offering my support to him and his family. My heart is broken for her husband, their son, and all who knew and loved Helena." But then, just less than 2 months after the shooting, Alec did a very controversial interview with ABC News that's actually available now on Hulu. If anyone wants to watch it, I watched it in full. It's almost an hour long, and he detailed the event. And this, I think, was risky, as it's an ongoing investigation. No criminal charges have been filed yet, but I feel like your legal team should have been like, maybe we slow our roll here.
Talking about it yet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably did the interview then.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. According to the interview, Alex said in it that he had met with Helena's husband and their son and had dinner with them, which I also thought, I don't know. It's just, I don't know.
Wouldn't want to be besties. Just would want an apology for your role in something.
Yeah. And at one point during the interview with ABC News, he says, quote, "Someone is responsible for what happened. And I can't say who that is, but it's not me. If I thought I was responsible, I might have killed myself." I thought that was a bold statement to make. And of course, this was misquoted all across the media. They kept just using, they left out the thought that he might kill himself. And they just kept posting that it wasn't him, Alec Baldwin, not taking responsibility. Oh. You know, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, because the rest of it implies that he would feel so guilty,
horrible,
yet intentionally been part. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I thought during the interview, while I may not agree with the timing of it or that he should have divulged as much as he did, I did think he was very respectful of not throwing anyone under the bus. And we'll see somebody keeps continually throwing people under the bus in this. And I think it's the person that's responsible for this entire thing. But anyways, Helena's husband actually responded to this interview. And he said, "Watching him, I just felt so angry. I was just so angry to see him, Alec, talk about her death so publicly in such a detailed way, and then to not accept any responsibility after just describing killing her. The idea that the person holding the gun, causing it to discharge, is not responsible is absurd to me. Almost sounds like he was the victim. And hearing him blame Helena in the interview and shift responsibility to others and seeing him cry about it, I just feel, are we supposed to feel bad about you, Mr. Baldwin?" Of course, legally,
I can see both sides because of,
Sorry.
If this were not a celebrity or a lawyers on top of lawyers situation, like, I can see why her husband would be like, "You had a part in this. No, you weren't not there. Like, you should be sorry for something." But
and then
legally,
I can
understand legally. By being like saying like, "Don't say you're responsible for anything,
and don't say sorry about anything, because once
then
you
you'll
say
be
sorry,
responsible."
Exactly. So I can see the legality, but I can also totally understand the anger of being like, "What the hell, man? Like, you just got like, on and right. So. And then beyond another like discourse of why Alec has been so outspoken about this, there was a lot released by the Santa Fe Sheriff's Department too, which was also pretty controversial. So a lot of things have come out. The police cam footage from like immediately afterwards to police interviews. You can watch full police interviews from this, and we're going to link some of them below, because I watched four of them for this. And they are wild. Like
I've watched part of them. Yes.
It's absolutely crazy. Wild. And without lawyers, like nobody's getting a fucking lawyer. If you
That's
ever
talk hour.
To
police,
get a lawyer. A lot of speculation was released after this. Like, could it have been a disgruntled employee that actually like left a live round on set and for a stunt gun in order to cause something like this to happen? Because there was a lot of financial stressors on the set. It was an independent film. A lot of safety things were left out. We're going to go through a resignation letter from one of the staff members from just a day before that is so telling about the safety, the lack of safety on the set.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital.
Crow portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
But before we dive into all of this and so much more, let's talk about the wine that we have today.
Get out some wine. Oh my gosh. So I'm so excited for this one because yes, we've done rosés, summer's ending. But this is up my alley. This is Maxville. So excited.
Funny.
It's Cab Sav, fittingly. And we have the same wine. So we finally get to drink the same thing. Thanks to our friends at Naked Wine, of course. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you a little bit about it before we try it. Let's see. So it's by the winemaker's Camille Beneta. I don't know if I'm saying that right. And so what's cool again about Naked Wines is they do like interviews and they have a little bit about the winemaker on their site. This wine too is normally like $57 ish.
And holy Hannah.
Yeah. and what a steal. Like through Naked Wines, it's $30, $29. Hey. Yeah. So you're saving like $27 on
half
this bottle.
Off. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I'm so excited because again, it's the dark fruit flavors, raspberry, plum, velvety finish, velvety texture and smooth finish. So let's give it a try.
Yeah.
This seems like it's going to be exactly what I'm looking for. And it's called Maxville. So have to like
matches.
This.
Oh, I think there's sediment in this one, Max. The look on your face.
I was like, I don't want to chew my wine. Yeah, I was like, literally talking about that this weekend. I was
like, don't mind it.
Wine? As long as you, as long as someone else has the last glass, I don't want to chew it.
You can see it collecting. That's exciting. Okay.
All right. Oh, I can smell it. I brought my aerator, so I was like ready for this. Cheers.
Cheers.
Spooky glass.
My Sam glass. I started to put my Halloween decorations up this week and I'm so excited.
I like it.
Oh, that's really good.
It's not like overpowering. Mm-mm. Overpowering. It's really good.
This might be my favorite.
You could drink, think this is my happy medium. Like you could drink this or you could drink this with food. Mm-hmm. There's certain wines that are so bold. I'm like, ugh, like how could you eat anything? You wouldn't be able to taste anything if you drink that with food. But like I would have this with food, like pizza or I think I read. Yeah. Like tomato based food, they said. So I guess that's why I'm like craving pizza. Mm-hmm. Or you could just drink this. I like this a lot. All right. Naked Wines for the win.
Oh, again, they just keep knocking it out of the park.
They do.
Oh my God. I haven't had one yet. I haven't liked the one last week. I wish I had food with. Like that was more of my like a foodie wine. But yeah, there hasn't been one.
And fair enough, because it was like a morning drink. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I really like this. I would buy this full price, but I would actually buy this through Naked Wines at half price. Amazing.
So for as prevalent as Alec Baldwin's name feels, because I feel like I don't know. It's just, you know immediately who Alec Baldwin is. But I felt, okay, so I watched a YouTube video on what the fuck happened to Alec Baldwin. Literally is like WTF happened to Alec Baldwin. And there was a comment and I was like, this actually resonates so much. So I wanted to read it to you and see what your thoughts are on it. Although you probably you already like looked.
I feel the same about this though. I'm like,
right?
I know him, but from what?
Exactly. So he's like, I used to have fun asking people these two questions. One, is Alec Baldwin an A-list actor? Like, what would you say usually?
Yeah. He's like, yeah, of course.
Yeah. He's like, most people say, yeah. Name a movie where Alec Baldwin is the main character.
None come to mind. I think when I think of him, I think of commercials like Capital One or something, I feel like, because really? Maybe he's not in Capital One. Yeah, but I just think of him as on TV, not like movies for me.
I think of him from Fun with Dick and Jane. I don't know if you ever saw that with Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Chop your head clean off, boy. Like my granddaddy always used to say.
But he's not the lead.
No, he's not. He's the weird boss that they end up like stealing money from or whatever. And he's so strange. So the commenter says, this stumped them. They usually said and then took back Beetlejuice. And then they always come to the shadow. This really illustrates why everyone knows Alec Baldwin, but struggles to name his movies. He is the world's most famous supporting actor, which I really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. What movies has he been in?
That's it. It's like, I don't know. It's weird. Weird to think of. So I feel like concerning everything having to do with the shooting, it's all focused on Alec, though. So I really wanted to take a minute and talk about Helena, especially before we dive into her death. Let's talk about who she was in life. So at the time of her death, Helena Hutchins could be described as a rock star cinematographer and a rising star in the industry. She was a very talented woman in a male-dominated industry. She was loved by everyone that she worked with, and she was admired by those who worked for her. She was actually born in 1979 in Ukraine, which surprised me. I know. Her father served in the Soviet Navy, and she called herself an army brat. My mom actually was an army brat, too. It's just like this, like...
Where you, like, move around and...
Yeah. Subculture of children. Yeah, that are following their parents around the world. They traveled a lot, and she saw her parents through active duty and everything else. So... it was actually while she was on a military base that she became interested in the film industry, and she changed her study from economics to journalism. She graduated from Kiev National University with a degree in international journalism, and her degrees really, like, they're so impressive. This woman really studied her field. So she then went on to work in Eastern Europe as an investigative journalist. Then she moved to London to work on documentary films. And then later moved to LA, graduating from the American Film Institute in 2015. In 2019, she was named a rising star by American Cinematographer magazine, and she won awards for her work. Now, while in the U.S., she met her husband, Matthew, who we were talking about earlier, and they had their son, Andros. Andros was 9 when his mom passed. I know. And while living in the United States, she maintained her Ukrainian citizenship. I can't talk today, guys. I'm sorry. And she was proud of her heritage. She visited home often. But what really hit me about Alec's interview for ABC when I watched it, I actually cried over this like statement. He talked about how much his kids love him. And when he's home with his kids, they, you know, they have such a great time. He obviously has Ireland, which there was that controversy years ago about Ireland and him screaming her out when she was only like 11 years old. I don't know if you remember that.
The voicemail.
He calls her like a spoiled little pig, and all because she won't answer the phone. It sounds like a narcissistic.
He sounds like
parent.
A brat. Yep.
That's what it sounds like. But he talks in the interview. He's like, you know, my kids, their world, because he has a lot of young children now with his wife. But he says, but when his wife comes home, he disappears, and his children, that's everything. And he said he was so devastated that he robbed, you know, a son of his mother. So the night before Helena and Joel were shot, nearly the entire camera crew of Rust walked off the set.
I know.
So there was a resignation letter that was left from Lane Looper, who was a camera assistant on the film. And he cited concerns about the lax COVID policies, the housing situation that they had, because every night the crew had to drive to and from Albuquerque, and they were driving several hours to where their housing situation was instead
after
of nearby
day. Of
filming, because they would
really asinine.
Mm-hmm, they'd film between 12 to 13 hours, and then they'd have to drive hours. So they were afraid they're going to fall asleep at the wheel or something, cause an accident. That was what.
Mm-hmm. And this is filming in the middle of nowhere, right? They're in like the desert. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're at like the Bonanza farm. Like that's like very famous, like the Bonanza filming area or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they still have, a long drive home, and it's kind of rural and dark and dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've been up all day.
Yeah. And then he specifically mentioned gun safety on the set, which I thought was interesting.
Lane did in his resignation.
Yes. So this is an excerpt from the letter. He says, during the filming of gunfights on this job, things have often played very fast and loose. So far, there have been 2 accidental weapons discharges.
Oh, my God. Deke.
Yeah. And one SFX explosion has gone off. In my 10 years as a camera assistant, I've never worked on a show that cares so little for the safety of its crew.
It's an accident waiting to happen.
Yeah.
That's sad. That is so preventable. I mean, like one mishap, I don't know, because I'm not in the industry, but like you see, it seems like in any workplace, like one mishap, people are like, whoa, we can't let this happen again. Like wake up call. But yeah. To have 3 already, mm-hmm. and they were only filming like a really short time, right? Like it's like a 3-week film timeline.
Yeah, 21 days.
21 days filming. To film it. And so they were only like 2 weeks in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where like some films take months, years, I don't know, but like,
yeah, wow. I feel like because their budget was small, because a lot of people think, well, Alec Baldwin's in it, so it's that higher price thing. But Alec was actually filming it with his friend Joel. And so this was actually an independent film. Alec was also a producer on this. So he wasn't just an actor, just to let that be known. And it wasn't necessarily like hugely funded, this movie. Right. So I feel like they were cutting a lot of corners to make this film work. And I feel like the armor that they hired was a huge corner they cut. But we'll talk about that. But the Rust producers actually responded to these allegations, of course, after the incident happened. But the resignation letter was given before the incident happened. I think that's just telling. Mm-hmm. It says, Mr. Looper's allegations around the budget and safety are patently false, which is not surprising considering his job was to be a camera operator. The sass there.
Yeah, they're and like, he knows nothing because he just operates the camera. The man's been on the scene for 10 years. I bet he can like tell when something's not going like up to snuff.
Yeah. And he had absolutely nothing to do with or knowledge of safety protocols or budget. As we continue to cooperate with all investigations, we are limited in what we can say. However, safety is always the number one priority in our films, and it is truly awful to see someone using this tragedy for personal gain.
What would he gain out of this, for one?
Well, I think he filed a civil suit. So that's kind of their response in that. Oh. So he has, I believe, Lane Looper, I believe, has filed a civil suit in this. A lot of people have filed a civil suit now. But yeah. And honestly,
if they're saying like he knows nothing about safety, then how is anyone supposed to know anything about, then who knows anything about safety? They have like a safety police. Like, I mean, everyone. For it to be a safe environment would have to know about what's safe and what's unsafe.
Yeah. And that accidental discharge is not what he talks about in there. It's not untrue. Everyone I looked at that has been talked to by police did say that there was an accidental discharge of firearms. And it was actually Alex's stunt person that had that accidental discharge of firearms in the week prior to this happening. And it was the same issue that had happened. They had said it's a cold gun. And then it went off. Oof. So it like there were issues that were a lot of red flags going on here that could have prevented this. And I found the LA Times article that said 2 crew members witnessed Alex Stunt Double doing this, firing 2 rounds the Saturday before the event when the gun was cold. And like, it's just eerie. Like the whole thing is eerie. Now, according to witnesses, Helena had been advocating for safer conditions on the set for her team and was very tearful when the crew walked off. And one crew member said, she said, I feel like I'm losing my best friends.
Yeah, because a lot of people walked off, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there was only one or two camera people that stayed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So on October 21st, 2021, it was day 12 of their 21-day shoot. So they're like almost halfway through this, over halfway through this bad boy. Mm-hmm.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So Alec had only been on set since Monday the 11th.
What, like a day?
No.
How long?
Yeah, a day. Yeah. No. October 12th.
Well, sorry. Okay, yeah. 12 days in.
We're silly.
No, I heard the 11 this morning. And 12. 12 days in, but he's been there since the 11th, but it's now the 21st. So he's been there 10 days.
Yeah. So what happened that day, right? It's too much math this morning.
Just like add it up.
What happened that day, I've pieced together from interviews with Alec, along with other set members, I'll be discussing throughout this, along with the court documents from the Santa Fe Sheriff's website. And I do want to say, it's really weird. They scrubbed their website after releasing. Why did they do that? It was weird that they released so much. So
they took it back?
Yeah, they released so much information concerning this. And then Matt Hutchins rightfully had issue with it. And he was like, what the hell? Like, they even released police body cam footage of Helena being like wheeled from the set. I know. So Matt was like, what are you guys even doing? And they scrubbed it at some point. And I don't even know when they scrubbed it, but it's been taken off the Santa Fe website.
But I'm sure it's still on the internet somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. But from their source of truth, right? That's crazy that they had it released. Mm-hmm. I can't think of any other time we've talked about something where it's like been out and then been redacted
and it really does impede their investigation, I think. And then another thing that they did that impeded their investigation, I just want to say that I think is wild to me, is, you know how after an event happens, the police separate the people around, not just so that they can't get their story straight. But the thing is when people start talking and exchanging their story of what happened, you start to get confused about what happened in your narrative of that day.
Oh, yeah. That's why they separate you. Yeah. They want to hear your narrative before it's biased by others.
100%. And so the issue with this is they didn't really do this in this investigation. I think it definitely is an issue. So the scene that they were going to film when Helena was shot was a shootout inside of that wooden church we've seen so famously photographed all over. So two guys have Alec cornered and he's injured. So it's like he's like in his like last moments, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so the scene that they were rehearsing, because they weren't even filming it, they were just rehearsing. It was a marking rehearsal that was happening. Yeah. So basically Helena was telling him where he needed to be for the camera to catch what they wanted to catch.
Right.
And so he's supposed to pull his gun, hold it out, and then cock it. That was all. Doesn't have no need to pull a trigger. The shots were not supposed to be fired. Okay. And this was happening right after lunch. And this is something that's so important because Alec will remain adamant and still remains adamant that he did not pull that trigger. But according to the FBI investigation, that gun could not have been fired without pulling a trigger. So there's something going on here, and we're going to touch on this a little bit later. Ooh. The gun he was using was a Pieta Long Colt 45 revolver, a real gun. But when it was handed to him by David Hall, who was the assistant director, who is only supposed to keep the film on, that's his responsibility, is schedule, nothing else. That's his responsibility. So he should not have even had this gun in his hands.
Shouldn't have touched it at all. No.
No. So he's the one, not the armorer. The film's armorer was 24-year-old Hannah Gutierrez Reed. She's the one that's supposed to be handling this. And the only other person that was supposed to have access to this was Sarah Zachary, who was also a young woman. And she seems way more professional than Hannah, just to be honest, after watching both girls' interviews. But I was blown away by Hannah.
Hannah's, like you said, 24. And I think this is her second
Film that she worked on. Yeah.
With film as an armorer.
And the armorer. And the armorer is supposed to make sure that they're taking care of the weapons. They're, what is it called? Fixing the weapons. They are responsible for weapon safety on the set. Mm-hmm. And Hannah actually hails from a very famous and well-respected armorer. So it is from this industry. So it is interesting. Yeah. Her father. So it's interesting that this happened with her. But I found, and I don't know what you found when looking at her interviews, seemed very uncaring, seemed very, I don't know.
Seemed like she seemed like obviously very upset about the situation, clearly. But she seemed like she just knew in her words that her career was fucked. She's like, her job is safety, and someone gets hurt or and then killed, obviously. And no, not going to work in this industry. Like, second job out the gate, we're done.
See, to me, she doesn't seem upset about Helena being hurt because at that point, obviously,
her career.
She's upset about her career. She's upset about her and what's going to happen to her. And I'll never work in this industry again. And that is so telling to me. But before we dive into that, David Halls hands the gun to Alec and he yells, "Cold gun." In an interview with ABC, Alec said 99% of the time Hannah handed him the gun. But if Hannah was away from the set, David Halls would hand him the gun. Now, according to Alec, Helena was showing him where to point the gun, which was at her, which also has people that are gun 101 safety is supposed to be, you treat that gun as if it's loaded. However, we're on a movie set. So this is where I get confused because live rounds shouldn't have even been in the question.
If things were up to safety protocol, there would be no live rounds. They're on a movie set. It's supposed to be a cold gun. And anyone that's watched a movie knows that there's guns that are pointed at the camera.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they get that shot.
It's so weird to me. And we know that prop guns are pointed at people as well, like, you know, and shot at as well. So it's interesting to me that people have come down on Alec for this and also come down on Alec that he did not double check the gun. And that's what George Clooney's comments were, because supposedly he should have double checked the gun. But like Alec said in his interview with police, he only knew as much about guns as an actor is required to know. And of course, that depends on the set that he's on.
Depends on the gun too. I mean, I don't know. I have shot a gun. Obviously, we're in the States and in the like Wild West in the center. So yes, I've shot a gun. I could tell you nothing about protocol for any weapons, period. So if you have someone who's employed as an armorer that's supposed to be training everyone on the safe, like making sure that it's a safe situation, I don't know what they expect of actors or actresses to know about a weapon. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'm confused because it's been over a decade since I was six sawyer trained. So I was like trained on how to use a weapon, and I really don't know if I would know on a movie set to check the weapon. Like, that's what's so weird to me. Make sure that there's nothing in the barrel. Anyways.
Also, it's not just checking the weapon, just to clarify too, because on the set, it's live rounds, dummy rounds, blanks. Like, just because there's something in the weapon wouldn't necessarily mean it's what's supposed to be in there.
Yeah, I mean, that was the problem with
gun. Like, it should have been.
It should have been a cold gun. Mm-hmm. And there shouldn't have been any live rounds on that set. But it's so crazy. So he says that Alec had said that sometimes they'll go out to the range when on set and work with the actual weapons, but that's basically all he knows. So Alec shifts the blame in that interview, and he said that it was the armorer's job to check that gun and it was not his place, and he'd placed his trust in Hannah. So
when they shoot on a range, I know this, when they shoot on a range, it's so that they can practice acting. It's so they can practice acting, like what it's like to shoot these different weapons
guns in real life. Yeah.
So that they so it looks realistic in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So before lunch, Hannah loads 5 rounds into the gun. And then the 6th one she loads after. Now, I thought this was interesting. Her attorney, number one, says that she has no idea where these rounds came from, because you know what these friggin' fools did? They took the rounds and they just put them all on a tray. Like, they were all out of boxes.
Ah.
Not a good time. And she has this organization system for her fanny packs, which is just wild for me. So she's got this fanny pack and she has all these like areas, pockets where she has the different rounds, her dummy rounds. Nick, and you
in the same fanny pack?
In the same fanny pack, her dummy rounds, her blank rounds, all of these in the same fanny pack. And she knows the organization for them. So her attorney and her have clung to the belief that the set was sabotage because they were already running through financial problems. Obviously, the camera people walked off the day before. So this is what they're clinging to and saying that she had no idea where the rounds came from and they were probably mixed up on purpose. The only thing is how was that person to know that those were the rounds that she was going to put in? But then here's the interesting thing. That gun, Hannah went to load that 6th round. The reason it wasn't loaded until after lunch was the gun was dirty and wouldn't allow her to load the 6th round. That's a big red flag to me.
I've never handled a gun that's so dirty that you can't load around, that means something else is in there or something else is wrong.
It's so weird. So she waits until after lunch. She cleans out that area and then is able to fit that sixth round in. But then what's weird is the police asked her when they do the interview, they say, why do you think it was like you couldn't load that sixth round? Like, wasn't that weird to you? And she said, well, no, because the gun's been dropped a lot. Like, this huge red flags.
Oh my gosh. This is just so cringy because that's major red flags.
Like, when you think of how Brandon Lee died, and that there was something wedged, you know what I mean, in that barrel. And then it shot out when it was fired. It shot out at the full force that a bullet would actively shoot out. It was a blank round. So it shouldn't have killed him. But because it had been stuck in there, it came out with that same impact. And that's what
came out like a bullet, because there was charge and powder. And then the projectile was stuck in the gun. So
why are we not treating safety like it's wild to me.
I can't believe that those rounds are not one. I know there's not supposed to be live rounds, but I can't believe those rounds are not like locked up. Like, if you're responsible for something, think about like people that are responsible for records. They're like, even like in an office, you're like, no one is allowed to touch our HR records. So only one person has access to these.
But you have got ammunition. Yeah.
But that ammunition is just in a fanny pack floating around. Like,
yeah. And not just a fanny pack. There's like this cart she keeps talking about where they've just got this out. And also in the actors' belts, they're putting these rounds in as well. And then it's like she can't keep track of this. They lock the guns up. They think about that enough. So the guns are locked up, but they don't have the ammunition locked up at all. It's weird.
Yeah, guns are dangerous when there's ammunition, and ammunition's dangerous when there's guns. Like, it should be both. Why would you not be? Yeah, and a numbering system too, like a checkout system, a process for like keeping track of what rounds are with what people, like, or where.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It is wild.
It's negligent.
So Alex says that he pulls the gun like he's supposed to for that scene, right? So he pulls it out of his holster and he does what he's supposed to do the first time without incident, cocks it, all of that, right? Then the second time he does it, he says he cocks it and then the gun just goes off. Okay. So that's his statement, and he sticks with that statement. He says that Helena falls backwards. He thought she'd passed out. She's silent, but it wasn't until Joel starts screaming that he's like, something is wrong here. So obviously the set erupts into mayhem. And the following next couple hours, Alec is just trying to make sense of the event. You can even see at the beginning of his interview with police that it's finally hit him that, oh my God, this might have been a live round. And you can see his anger and understanding this. Like, you can watch it unfold in his interview. The whole thing is online.
Yeah.
And he continually, at the beginning, keeps trying. You can tell it's immediately after the event, and you can tell he's processing it because he continually keeps repeating, it's impossible that it was something wedged in the gun, because that's originally what he thought. He thought it was like a Brandon Lee situation, that was what had happened. But he's like, no, it went through two people. And you can see that.
Emotional now, you know, but in my time, and I'm older now, but when I was younger and I was shooting guns and stuff, I've never seen a theatrical flash round where the material went through someone's armpit, came out their body, and hit somebody else in the shoulder.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if your department is prepared to go find out what comes out of his shoulder surgically. Is that a live round?
That's what we are actually looking
at. Is that a live? Because I don't, it doesn't make any sense otherwise.
Yeah.
He hits her in the armpit, comes out of her shoulder, goes into his shoulder, and he just told me on the phone, I talked to Joel. He said, they showed me the x-ray, and the shape of the thing in my shoulder is the shape of a bullet. Now, all the rounds, I was told, you need to verify that this is an important note. They take the gun, they enter it, and all the rounds that are in there were either dummy rounds, no flash, cold rounds, or rounds with a flash. In the rehearsal, there should have been nothing. It should have been a cold gun with no rounds inside, or dummy rounds, cosmetic rounds, no flash. I take the gun out slowly, I turn, I cock the pistol, bang, it goes off. She hits the ground. She goes down. He goes down, screaming. He's like, Jesus Christ, and I'm going. And I thought that maybe sometimes the wadding can come out if you're closer to get a burn. Two actors who killed themselves with guns, with theatrical guns, John Eric Hexon.
Yeah, he's totally trying to solve it for them to be like, nothing else makes sense except for it's a live round. Like, I just talked to David and I just got off the phone with David, and they're saying what's in my x-ray.
Joel, it's Joel Souza, the director.
Yeah. And what's in my shoulder looks like a bullet. And he's like, how could that be? It's supposed to be dummy rounds and blank. So basically, like, flash or no flash. nothing is supposed to ever come out of the gun. And then he goes on to say, like, but we know it could be dangerous, like if there's wadding or something else. That's another part of like a cartridge of a bullet that could come out if you were really close, could still be damaging. Like, I mean, you could get seriously injured with a BB gun. Like,
it's
not just about the bullet or no bullet. Like, still like it's a lot of force. So,
He's
puzzled. He's so puzzled.
And then he also says at one point, like they ask him, is this, could this have been intentional? What they're trying to, I can tell what they're trying to figure out is, you know, was this like a murder? Like, can we figure that out? And he says, well, if it was the round, like a live round, she'd be dead, which is just heartbreaking. We'll get into that because he at this point in time does not know that she has died. The police know that she has died, but he does not, which is the really dirty thing about this interview, but we'll touch on that in a second. But he says the important question for Hannah would be, have you ever commingled live rounds with theatrical ones, which is illegal? Like, he is trying to piece this together for them, and that you can tell this is all stuff he's now asking himself, and he's just like
brain
about.
Dumping on them because it's incredible to me that someone like Alec Baldwin doesn't have a lawyer present with him. Like,
so this is what's wild.
The shooting, like whether it was a murder or and she died or didn't die, it would still be like charges for him if he like had responsibility.
So this is what's wild about his police interview is he comes in, and this was horrifying to me to watch. He comes in, he's obviously distraught, you know, from what just happened. Like, mind you, he is not the initial victim in this, obviously, but I would say he is a victim of the entire circumstance. He is extremely upset. This was an accident. And they sit there at about the 4-minute mark and go over his rights. And I'm going to make you watch this. And they say, you know, you have the right to remain silent, blah, 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 blah. And he says, so my only question is, am I being charged with something? And they say, oh no, Mr. Baldwin, this is just a formality and everything. He then goes on to have an over hour long conversation with the police, an interview with police without a lawyer present, which don't ever do this. I don't care if you're innocent. I do not care. Have your lawyer present. Someone was like, wild to me. He is not aware that Helena has died. He is not. And he would not be told until the hour 11 minute mark.
And the only thing know. I can say to counteract that is, one, you don't have to be charged with something. It's an interview. They're trying to information. They can charge you after that. After they have the information. So yes, talking to police without an attorney presence, never advised by an attorney.
Never a good thing.
But also kudos to the police to gather information because that's the only way they're going to get the information. Hannah didn't have to talk to them at all. If they would have both lawyered up, then no one would ever be responsible ever. Like, so we know so much more because they both decided to speak with police. They should have done it with an attorney present.
Oh yeah. Have you seen the clip of him being told that she's dead?
Yes. Yes.
It's so dirty. The way they did it, they have finished their questioning supposedly. And they're like, even he's talking about, he says to them like, hey, I want to go home to New York. I'm not supposed to go home until this day. He's trying to make sure they know he's not fleeing is basically what he's trying to do. He's trying to make sure there's an open line of communication. So he's like, you can reach me. Is it okay for me to go home to my wife because she wants me home? Is that fine? And they, oh, Mr. Baldwin, ha ha ha. Like, you know, you better do what your wife says for you to do. Right. And then the other officer looks at the other officer and is like, are we ready to, and they're like, nod. And then they're like, she's passed. And he jumps backwards.
Like, he is like,
it's so gross.
So Joel's still at the hospital, but the doctor other person involved didn't make it. Sorry. I just didn't want you to hear it outside of here. Is there something we could do for you? Comfortable driving though.
Come on, go my way.
Of course, we could even give you
privacy. I
just like, don't talk to the police without an attorney present because he had no idea she had died. He had no idea. So, yeah. Anyways.
It's very sad because clearly that's not the way. I mean, in a non-criminal investigation, that's not how you'd want to hear about anybody that you care about passing. So from like a human perspective, I understand why that's horrible. It's to just so drop a bomb on him like that. And so upsetting. And then also, I don't know when there would be a good time for him, them to tell him, because that's why they wanted to get the information. So
me, I'm like not on the cop side at all. I'm like, fuck them. That was so dirty, because they were trying to get, they were trying to catch him. They were trying to catch someone in this. And
that's your job to find out who's responsible.
Watching, I mean, I was like,
I know, I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it either.
It's dirty. Oh God. But anyways, so Sarah Zachary was a prop master on this. This is who Hannah says is the only other person other than her, the armorer, that has access to the guns. She talked about that misfire in her police interview, which I thought was interesting. She did have a lawyer with her, surprisingly, because Hannah and Alec did not lawyer up for either of their first initial interviews, which was shocking to me.
They both talk about the film's company has an attorney. I mean, it's a business. But
this is it.
Like, yeah. So there, she, Hannah even makes mention of like, I know they're like, do you want an attorney? She's like, well, how would I get one? They're like, well, we can give you a public defender. She's like, when? She doesn't want to wait around for one, kind of. She's like, eh. She's like, well, I just know I'm probably supposed to have a lawyer. And they're like, what are you talking about? They're like, well, the film's company. She's like, yeah, like one of their lawyers. Like, I'm sure they're all supposed to have lawyers.
Yes. Sarah. So Sarah seems extremely professional, which was shocking to me, because her, I would say Hannah is just not very professional at all. But she gets a lawyer. The lawyer's trash. He asks her questions about the incident in front of the police, which I just thought was like, I was like, oh my God. It was very interesting. She also makes mention of that popper that also exploded without anyone near it, that SFX explosion. Mm-hmm. But no incident report was filed for either Alec, the stunt double, like that popping off, or the poppers popping off. So the misfire, no incident report, and the popper going off, no incident report. I just thought that was so interesting. It speaks volumes about the set, I think.
It just means, yeah, that everything's loosey-goosey, and yeah, they're like, eh, just keep it rolling. Yep.
Yeah. And then what I also found interesting, she discusses the day of the incident. Obviously, this is the same. I think it's the same day, but I'm not sure for her interview, actually. But she discusses the incident, right? And she says she grabs the guns that she had loaded herself, because she'd loaded a couple other guns, not Alex. Hannah had loaded Alex's gun. But she grabbed a couple of the other guns and she threw the loads away in a panic, like the loaded
She just grabs them and throws like all evidence, anything away. She should have like just not touched anything, walked away.
Mm-hmm. And she tells police officers, I couldn't tell you why I did that. I can tell you why. She wanted to protect herself.
Yeah. Yeah. That's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So Hannah's the one that loaded Alex's gun day of the shooting, but Sarah was by the cart, like with the ammunition, you know, that we talked about, that they were just dumping ammunition outside of the church. Okay, so they're both outside the church when the shots rang out. Why the armorer wasn't on the set when there were supposed to be guns being pulled and everything else. But Hannah would later say in her third interview, because she's had several interviews, in her third interview, God, I think it's telling. I just watched it this last night and this morning. She is so lackadaisical when it comes to this event. She honestly does not believe it's her fault. And when they say like, why weren't you on the set at this point? She's like, I wasn't called to set. Well, how do you not know that the guns are out? Cause she had handed the gun to Dave Halls. Dave Halls testified that Hannah said cold gun, handed it to him. He trusted her. He hands it to Alec, cold gun. How does she not know that that's happening?
Yeah, no. Is she like walk to lunch? Like she's like, here, have a cold gun, and like walks to lunch. She was on set.
Clearly, she was on set, but she wasn't.
She's not
in the church with Alec when he's pulling that weapon out of his holster. I just think that's so interesting. Mind you, it's just a rehearsal, but she said it was because no one let her know that that was going on. But that's interesting to me, because she handed the gun to Dave after lunch, after she loaded the sixth round. So I think that's just a lie.
So, well, she knew that they were going to do something with the gun if she's handing it to like staff or whatever, crew.
So Sarah says she's by the cart outside the church. Shots ring out. She runs in. She sees Joel Souza on the ground, the director. Didn't even know Helena was hit. Okay. Jensen, one of the other guys, tells her to grab all the guns and secure them. So she does that, right? She calls Seth, who is their ammunition supplier, and she tells him what happened. When the gunshot went off, she said she saw Hannah turn around and say, this wasn't supposed to happen. My whole career is ruined. I have a theory about all of this, but anyway, this is my personal theory. So the next time she saw Hannah, she was checking the gun with Dave Hall. So they're checking the gun that was shot off, Alex's gun, right? Sarah goes over to Hannah and the production designer that's with Hannah as well. And Hannah says, I swear I checked the rounds. Now she shows.
Sarah says that?
Hannah says that Hannah to Sarah.
That. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
So Hannah shows Sarah all six rounds, which I think would be impossible because one of those rounds is still in Joel's arm till he gets to the hospital and they take it out, right?
Yeah.
But Sarah notices that one of the rounds didn't have the lid wadding on it, on the top, that the others did. So she says she has a suspicion of what happened, or not what happened, just like to see if there was any other live rounds from that box that she pulled. Anyways, she goes over to the tray that they've got all this on, that cart, right? And she finds a few more live rounds. So it's a mess. Near the end of Sarah's interview, they ask her what her theory is on what happened. And she says that somebody doesn't know how to check for live rounds. 100%. And somebody had live rounds on that set. Fuck that. Like,
because they're not even supposed to be there. But then also they're supposed to be protocol to check for live rounds.
This is it. So Hannah's interview with police. Hannah. She talks about how that this is only her second role as an armorer on a movie set, right? The first time she was an armorer was on the Nicolas Cage movie, The Old Way. She said that she didn't really feel ready at the time to take the role of lead armorer, but, quote, I was really nervous about it at first, and I almost didn't take the job because I wasn't sure if I was ready, but doing it, like, it went really smoothly. So the day that Helena was shot, Hannah can be seen immediately following the incident on police body cams and these release clips. So I'll post those on my Instagram because we aren't going to be able to post them here. I think they're TMZ, which we can't post. They belong to them. But it's telling, I would say, especially to how she ran things. I don't know.
She says many times, unfortunately, like it just like that's why I also feel like I've watched her interview and that clip. The vibe is that she's sad her career is over. She's like, it's unfortunate, you know, about the incident, but it's sad. My career's over. My career's over. My career's over. Because she says a couple times, like, can you put me in like another place? Can you move me to a different car?
She just doesn't. And she
I don't want to be seen by my coworkers. Yeah. I don't. And she's just like going through her like self-pity humiliation.
Yeah. Yeah. She's more concerned about her coworkers seeing her and their judgment on her than she's concerned about Helena and if her condition is okay. And it's extremely telling to me. To me, here's my theory on this. I think that Hannah knew that she'd brought live rounds on the set. 100%. I believe that, especially about the text messages we're going to look into. And I think when the gun went off, she realized, oh my God, I fucked up. You know, like I mixed those rounds up and now she's just covering her ass. So we'll talk about why I think that because there's some,
I don't know about this. I'm excited to hear about this.
There's some text messages between her and Seth and everything. And I don't think she brought live rounds on the set in like, I think this was an accident. Yeah. I don't think this was intentional at all, but I think she brought live rounds on the set. She knew she brought live rounds on the set. And when the gun went off, she thought, holy shit, I can't believe I did this. Yeah. It happened. Yeah. So
I get also not to say like you would be personally embarrassed, know your career's over. Like all of those are valid things. It's just they would not trump or take precedence over your immediate concern for those injured.
No.
So like of course you're going to be like in your mind, like my career's over and I am like mourning that. But more outwardly and importantly, you'd be like, holy shit, did someone die? Like what happened? Are they okay? And
yeah,
that's why it rubs me the wrong way because you don't hear much of that.
No. And I feel like you can tell, at least I don't think Sarah's interview is right after, but with Alec, he doesn't outright ask if Helena's okay, but you can tell he's working out like, cause I think he thinks she's fine, but he's working out. He's like, what the fuck happened? Meanwhile, like
Joel at the hospital.
Also, yeah.
Shot through like the armpit. So he's like, oh, like it doesn't, I think for me, it doesn't look like it registers to him that like, oh, she could die from that injury. Cause Joel didn't die. She got shot through the armpit and it went into him like, and he didn't die. So like, it just seems like it didn't register that would be a possibility for him.
Yeah. So their way of telling the difference, and then that's the thing too. I don't think Hannah honestly knew how to tell the difference between the guns.
Here's a picture, and I just want to see if this is something that would have come out of one of these.
Totally.
It wouldn't be a real live gun, ammo.
So that looks like a blank one, which I'm pretty sure, because normally the blank ones, like, they have kind of this little line right there, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty sure the regular ones don't.
Okay.
So that looks like that would be in the blanks all the time.
Okay. That was what was pulled out of the shoulder.
Oh my God, poor Helena.
So that's why they were thinking it could be an actual live round at this point.
Really?
Yeah. Does that look like it would have been a live round to you?
Honestly, if we had my extractor, we could pull this out and check it, but
I don't know. Actually, it's so cool.
Yeah, I don't know, because look at that line. That's kind of a distinct thing. I think that's mostly for dummies.
Okay. Hold on.
That might be a regular live round, though.
It looks pretty. That's what they were thinking. It could be a live round.
Holy fuck.
No. I just...
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Allow your imagination to be piqued by stories that are brought to life through captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. As an Audible member, you'll be able to keep your heart rate up month after month because you can choose one title a month to keep from the entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. If you're in the mood for a shocking psychological thriller, check out None of This Is True by Lisa Jewell. Embrace brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I think I watched all you wanted me to watch, but also you can't stop watching because it's just so insane. Where they're like, does anything else stick out to you? She's like, yeah, the whole camera crew quit yesterday. Yeah. Noteworthy. She's like, you know why? She's like, no.
Well, you know what's so interesting about, you know what's so interesting about that entire thing is now her and her lawyer have locked onto that theory that she was sabotaged and somebody put a live round in there that she doesn't know. Somebody intermingled it. It wasn't her. She didn't do it. Not from that ammunition.
What's her explanation for why she can't tell a live round from a dummy then?
Well, this is fucking it.
Because they're like, do you know what this is? And they show her a picture just in case we can't like share this clip with you or you don't go to watch it.
So I think
like, did you, you know what this is? She's like, I think that's like a dummy round or blank. I don't remember what she says. She's like, and they're like, this came out of the shoulder of Joel. They're like, we think it's a live round. She's like, oh, well, maybe this marking. I mean, this marking looks like it could be from a dummy. And we're like, they're like, no, it's the live round we pulled out of him.
Yeah. Like that is so shocking to me that she can't tell the difference between a live round and a fake round. And she said the way they would do it, and I don't know if this is normal on sets, but they would shake it near their ears and see if it moved to tell if it was a live round or a dummy or like a flashbang. But how would they not know that it wasn't like a dummy or a blank either? And then the other question is after, okay, so she said she didn't really check the gun after lunch because it had been quote unquote locked up, even though it had that ammunition in it. She cleans it out. She puts that additional shot in because she said it was dropped a lot. So she couldn't fit that other shot in. She didn't think it was weird because that gun had been dropped a lot. Obviously the gun's damaged, right?
Yeah. Used on other films too, right? This is not the first one that's been used on. So
I don't know that for sure. But I just find it interesting that she has no concept between the two different rounds. And she just hands it off to David, who hands it to Alec, cold gun. But the thing that's interesting to me is afterwards, she said she gets the gun, right? She opens it up to check what happened. And she said she noticed that one of the dummy rounds had been discharged. A dummy round shouldn't have had any gunpowder visible to it. If you shoot off a gun and you've shot a gun, you get gunpowder. You can see it just on your hand inside the gun. That's why you clean guns. It's obvious that a gun, like a bullet, has gone off, not just a dummy round. So it's very interesting to me that she can't even tell from that that this was a live round, or at least a blank that went off and not just a dummy round.
Yeah, because what we're differentiating is powder or no powder, from a dummy round to a blank to a live round.
And a dummy round shouldn't have had powder at all, because there was nothing inside it.
Right.
Yeah. So I watched her third interview between last night and today, and I have to tell you, it's infuriating. It's fucking infuriating. Her and her lawyer, they're committed to this crazy story that this was sabotage, that now she's in a civil suit now with one of the ammunition suppliers, which we'll touch on in a second, because of sabotage. She says she'd never put live bullets on the scene. We'll talk about why that's just simply not true. But she's throwing everyone under the bus in this interview. Everyone and their dog. So she says that Sarah, who's obviously way more professional than she is just by looking at the interviews, she says Sarah's too busy flirting with Jensen to pay attention to anything. Mm-hmm. It's wild the disregard this woman has.
Yeah.
She said no one alerted her, as I said earlier, to that they were rehearsing or filming with that gun. So that's why she wasn't upset on set. She wasn't alerted, even though she handed David Halls that gun after lunch. So I don't know any after loading it. She goes on to describe that her fanny pack is her organization system of bullets, where she says sometimes she'd have to set it up for Sarah, but she didn't really like doing that for Sarah because, and I quote, "Sarah doesn't understand the importance of pockets."
Of pockets? Isn't that your whole system? Why are you using? Yeah. Okay. If you think everyone's so stupid, basically, then
100%.
Why are you handing anyone anything? I would be like, I can't work on this, because if something happens, I'm working with idiots. Like, yeah. If you think everyone's that stupid. So, and also, I don't know. Like, I don't know what protocol is, but like, again, yeah, if you thought everyone was that stupid and you're still committed to the project, like, then why are you handing people anything? I'd be giving my fanny pack to anybody.
I'd say I'm an emotional person. I wouldn't say I'm a violent person, but I tell you, I wanted to come through the screen and slap some sense into her while watching her interview. Like, I could not. I was like, Sarah doesn't know anything. Sarah seemed more knowledgeable than you. And somebody commented on the YouTube link to Alec's interview, and they said, how come Alec Baldwin can describe the difference between dummy and blank rounds better than the armorer of the set can? And he obviously has no idea on how to work training.
Yeah, no, yeah. Training on it. Formal training, right?
Like, oh, cheese and crackers. And I tell you too, she also threw Alec under the bus. She said that nobody wanted training, that he was this big wig actor and she had to fight for it. And then one of the crew, she said, like, well, he's going to blow up about it. And then the next day he blew up. And I could tell she was just feeding on that. You know how, like, Alec, ever since the Ireland thing, they've been like, oh, he's a hot tempered guy. And like, and I was like, just take some kind of responsibility. Like, it's wild. And if you compare her two statements, it's wild to me. I won't make you do it this video, but if you guys want, about the 25 minute mark of her first interview is where she starts talking about the day of, and it's wild. There's no real difference in her statement. Like, she's still saying the same things, but it's the arrogance that she's giving in the third interview of like, this isn't my problem. And she even says, like, at first I thought it was a popper that might have blown someone's arm off, like, cause that other popper went off, but you're the one that's responsible for the weapons, dear. So yeah. I mean,
how would there even be confusion? You shouldn't be confused about anything that's in loaded. Shouldn't it be confused? There shouldn't be confusion.
No. So there is an investigation happening in this. So far, no criminal charges have been filed. They say still it's too soon to know if they will be. Honestly, with Alec Baldwin not getting that lawyer that day, I swear to God, if he had been anyone but Alec Baldwin, he would have been
charged.
He would have been charged. And we wouldn't even heard about it. I swear to God, that happens to so many people. You start talking to the police after shooting someone, accidental, you know, but like, I don't, anyways. So event is still under investigation. So far, investigators have recovered hundreds of rounds of ammunition, appears to be a mixture of blanks, dummies, and what appears to be live rounds.
Oh my God. Hundreds. It could happen at any point, at any time, in like a shootout or something, like any time.
It's horrifying. Ugh. So Alec has maintained he did not pull that trigger. A quote from his NBC interview. The trigger wasn't pulled. I didn't pull the trigger. No, 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 no. I would never point a gun at someone and pull the trigger at them. Never. But Lane Looper, that camera assistant we talked about earlier, he had a response to this. He said, guns don't just go off. The single action Colt 45 revolver handed to Alec Baldwin required multiple active steps to discharge it and kill Helena. The gun had to be loaded with live ammunition held and pointed, the hammer of the weapon manually cocked, and the trigger pulled. It was not a magic self-firing weapon. Now, mind you, that's by a camera assistant. So I'm not disregarding him like the producers did, but I am saying like he doesn't really... He's not an on set.
Yeah, right.
Prop. Yeah. And he wasn't there that day. Obviously, he walked off set. But a report was released from the FBI that said there was no way that that revolver fired without pulling the trigger. Now, Alec's lawyer responded to this and said the FBI report is being misconstrued. The gun fired and testing only one time without having to pull the trigger. When the hammer was pulled back and the gun broke in two different places, the FBI was unable to fire the gun in any prior test, even when pulling the trigger, because it was in such poor condition, which also corroborates what Hannah said about the gun being dropped. It was in very poor condition.
Which is also why I think I had read that it was, yeah, I mean, it's not a brand new gun that's like been dropped once and oh my God, it's like broken. I think if I remember, and if that's a reliable source, sorry, I don't have sources, it was used from other sets. Okay. Yeah. And as Hannah mentioned, it's been dropped. So If you assume that it's damaged to the point where the FBI can't test it anymore because they test it once and it's damaged, then I don't know. Like maybe you have to say it's inconclusive.
That's it. So the assistant director, David Hall's attorney, also weighed in on this. He said the entire time Baldwin has had his finger outside the trigger guard parallel to the barrel. Halls told me since day one that he thought it was a misfire. Until Alex said that, it was really hard to believe. But Dave told me since the very first day I met him that Alec did not pull that trigger. Now, I want to say to this, as someone, my brother is a very avid, he loves guns, so he knows like a lot about them. So I called him about this. I was like,
yeah,
what's the questions?
Hope you know.
Yeah. Asked him. So he says it's a single action revolver. So, and looking at it, that's Dave Hall has also said it was a single action revolver. So he says what this means is once the gun is cocked, that trigger's like glass. So
yeah, cocked all the way. Yeah.
It would be easy to accidentally pull that trigger because it's under 2 pounds of pressure that's needed to pull that trigger and have it go off.
Question. That's like if you pull, and I don't know. So this is why I'm saying like clearly defining, I do not know. That's like if you pull the hammer all the way back, it's locked. Like you pull the hammer back and it's there. Yes. Then 2 pounds of pressure, it would be like glass. However, you can break you. I think, okay, now we're just entering all kinds of territory. I think you can blow your ACL from like 5 pounds of pressure, which is actually like not much, but still enough. So like glass, but also requires pressure.
Yeah.
I think I read too, that if the gun was damaged, that hammer, and he said, and if Alec is, if that's reality where he really didn't touch the trigger at all and the gun fires, if the hammer didn't go all the way back to its like locked position, it's supposed to have a couple like safety, other, I don't know, gun jargon, safety precautions where the hammer wouldn't just slide back and like, and fire. But you remember like in Westerns where you like, you see them like just flicking, using the hammer.
Yeah.
Like essentially that's the theory of if Alec didn't use the trigger, what happened? Mm-hmm. He pulled the hammer back and it slid forward and bypassed because it was damaged, bypassed the safety.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And fired.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a live round in. So normally, even if that had happened, nothing would happen. It would discharge.
But it was a live
incident
round.
Report, but it was a live round.
Yeah. And many online have speculated that if, when he cocked the gun, he might have also had his finger on the trigger accidentally pulled it. So mayhaps like when he did that, he didn't even notice, because then of course it's mayhem after. I think the trauma, you know, that comes after, you might not even know that you pulled the trigger. Personally, I think if he pulled the trigger or not, it's inconsequential. Why were there live rounds on the set?
Right. You know, and none of this should be an issue if there weren't live rounds.
No. And I also think, and this is my own personal opinion, but give me your takes in the comments below. I also think that Alec is just an actor. So I do think the responsibility does fall on the armorer for training along with what is in that gun. Because how is he supposed to know that if the armorer can't tell the difference between the blank shots and the real shots, how the fuck is he supposed to tell?
Absolutely.
There's no way. So Alec did state in his interview with ABC in December of 2021 that he was not shocked that Matthew Hutchins, Helena's husband, had filed a suit, would file a suit with him. He said he'd be stunned if Matthew didn't file something. He's lost his wife. So Matthew did file that wrongful death suit on February 15th. I can't talk. It's fine. But Alec did state how shocked he was that other members of set had filed civil lawsuits before Matthew even got his chance to put his into court. Lots of civil lawsuits in this. The production's main medic claimed to have lost wages and has emotional trauma. The script supervisor who originally called 911 filed as well, saying that the scene did not call for the gun to go off. The script did not call for it. Quote, Mr. Baldwin chose to play Russian roulette when he fired a gun without checking it, without having the armorer do so in his presence. We just went through this, though. But they also said he had no right to rely on some alleged statement by the assistant director. That's fair, that it was a cold gun. Mr. Baldwin cannot hide behind the assistant director to attempt to excuse the fact that he did not check the gun himself. But how was he supposed to tell whether it was a live round or a...
Even if he had checked the gun, right? I mean, there's reality and then there's like legality. Like, yeah, that would be an extra, in my mind, like legally, that would be an extra measure that he could have, should have taken in order to prevent tragedy. But it would be like the safety net. It's not supposed to be like the actual measure. The armor is employed for a reason.
So Hannah has filed her own lawsuit in this against the ammunition supplier for the movie, which is mind-boggling to me because she even said in one of her police interviews that she didn't know where they got the, she didn't know where they got it from. And they got it from multiple sources. And she, because they empty the boxes and they mix the boxes up, she's not sure which round came from which. So I don't know how
her fanny pack alone, even if she knew where they came from, her fanny pack mixed it up anyways. Like, how would she know it was really fired?
Cheese and crackers. Quote, the lawsuit from Gutierrez
Reed. Blame the fanny pack. Sue the fanny. Sorry, fanny pack. You're like, your pockets do not keep stuff organized. Since we're suing everyone. That's how ridiculous it sounds to me that you blame the manufacturer. Unless there was like some proof where that was the only box that was on set, clearly was from them. Like, yeah, clearly I don't know how you would ever prove that.
She's wild. So the lawsuit from Gutierrez Reed places blame on the ammunition supplier, Seth Kenny, which is weird because Seth Kenny and her family were actually family friends before this. So that's kind of sad.
Not anymore.
And his company, PDQ Arm and Prop, for introducing live rounds to the set where only blanks and dummies were supposed to be present. The introductions of live rounds onto the set, which no one anticipated, combined with the rushed and chaotic atmosphere, created the perfect storm for a safety incident. Wait. This is interesting. Kenny has said previously that he's sure his company did not send live rounds to that set because it's illegal. But get this. I find this really interesting because of Seth's interview with police.
They interviewed him right away, too.
Oh,
wow. Yeah, okay.
He said, I wish she would just come forward. This is before she'd lodged this complaint. So it's not like
it's not like retaliation.
No.
Yeah.
He says, I wish she would just come forward. She thinks she's going to get away with this.
Yeah.
So Kenny asked,
she's negligent.
Yes. Kenny asked the investigators if she's come forward about shooting live rounds on a movie set.
What? They did it before?
Get this. They say that no one came forward with this information. August 15th, she's texting Kenny. He shows this to investigators. You can see him in the interview. He holds up the phone. He's like, I'm showing you. So on August 15th, she texts that she wants to shoot live ammo out of the guns from set while working on that Nicolas Cage movie, The Old Way. Quote from Seth. She wanted to shoot live ammo out of the guns, the TV movie guns. I said, no fucking way, obviously. And then she acknowledged. Down below, right, you do see where she said, I'm going to shoot them out of mine now. The lawyer, Hannah's lawyer, released, like, on a movie set. So how were live rounds introduced to this movie set? I dare fucking say.
Well,
Hannah.
I mean, yeah, it's a fair if we have to make any leaps of like probability. Yeah. Yeah. So this is the smallest leap.
Yeah. So her lawyers then said, Hannah, as armorer, is required to know the functionality of weapons and to have good working knowledge of their features, including their safety handling. In text, Hannah asked Seth if she could fire live rounds through a trap door, meaning historical weapon, a Springfield trap door. Hannah wanted to fire the historical weapon after working hours and off the production set. Seth stated that live rounds shouldn't be fired through prop guns, and Hannah listened. Obviously, she didn't.
Nope.
Obviously not. So my brother, who's like a gun person, he says prop guns can blow up. So that's one major reason you should not be using live ammunition through them. But
except
also,
for Alex's gun was a working revolver. It wasn't technically like a prop. Like
exactly. I'd also be scared you'd forget a live round in a gun.
Dude, I don't know why you would do it, period. It would be too risky to do it because of that reason. You'd be like, we're going to ruin it. Like, I mean, even say it even works. It's like Alex's real revolver. Say you don't forget it. What if you ruined it? It's been like, it's clearly the FBI used it and they ruined it. Like, what the hell?
Yeah. I think it was only a matter of time before she wasn't going to work in this industry. There are a lot of uncaring things happening. And I think she needs to be held criminally responsible. But after looking at this case, at the end of the day, I see a lot of people who not only don't want to be held responsible at all for their part in Helena's death, but also truly don't believe they had any responsibility. There's so much shifting blame in the comments from people about this. There's not enough concern for what really happened, the loss of the life of a mother and a friend and an amazing cinematographer. Like, is more concerned about, it wasn't me. Like, obviously,
because like we just talked about Alec, if he were to take any responsibility, then he could be held publicly liable. Mm-hmm. And even if he feels like morally responsible because he was the last person holding the gun, for example, then even if he admits that, it's a legal ramifications, I guess.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, it's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional therapy done securely online. And you will be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours.
And what I love about BetterHelp is that you can log into your account at any time and send a message to your therapist. And they respond with timely and thoughtful responses. And you can schedule your weekly video or phone sessions so you don't have to sit at an actual therapist's office. You can do therapy wherever.
I love it because they have such a broad range of things that they can talk about and are experts in. So if you feel like something's overwhelming you, like I know right now with me, content seems to be overwhelming me forever. I'm always distracted by the office or scrolling on TikTok for forever and not really paying attention to what's going on within me. So I feel like that's been super helpful.
Yeah. And if it's not your match, they'll match you with someone else. So I know I had to try with one therapist and then I switched to another therapist that was a better fit for me.
It's also way more affordable than offline therapy, and financial aid is available for those who may need it.
Join the over 2 million people who have taken charge of their mental health by visiting betterhelp.com/ITT. That's betterhelp.com/ITT.
And BetterHelp has a special offer for ITT listeners. You'll get 10% off your first month if you go to betterhelp.com/ITT. Again, that's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/ITT. And I do want to say at the end of that police interviews, when he finds out that Helena is dead, he says, I just want to call my wife. Like, that's all he wants. They're asking him, can we drive you anywhere? Can we? And he's like, no, I just want to call my wife. And those infamous photos of him where he's holding his mask and he's on the phone, or where he's doubled over, you know, outside, that's from outside the police station after he's found out that she's passed. And I just wish I had seen this equaled reaction across the board. Like, I just don't feel like Hannah, from what I have seen, has expressed that about the loss. And of course, we all express grief differently, but I don't think like her being like, I'll never work again is much different than being like, oh my God, is she okay? Like, there's a difference. I don't know. And it baffles me too. Like you were saying, other companies and how they deal with things. As an ex-Disney employee, I didn't work on film sets, but I worked in the parks. The fact that we cared about if the doors shut on people, like that was, I worked in a theater and we had safety protocols for the doors. Don't get past the yellow line. Don't. So it's baffling to me. It's baffling to me that so much was left. So I've got it in a fanny pack. I have them. And you can't even tell the difference between the rounds.
So I liken it to, I worked for an airline. And you go through like so much safety training always, because they're like, it doesn't matter if you're a gate agent or out like outside or like a pilot, like it doesn't matter. It's all, if there's loss of life, it's everyone's responsibility. You're because you're all have a part. And so you have to like, yeah. So that's safety. And so that's what's nuts about this to me is like, everyone probably does feel bad and in some sense responsible, but no one's stepping up to say like Hannah, no one's stepping up to say I was like the point person that was responsible for safety. It's on me. Like, own your responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah. And I firmly believe, and this is my own personal beliefs, but I think her negligence is the main reason we don't have Helena still with us. We don't have this movie complete right. Under her roster of movies she's done. You know, like I sat back at the end of the day because I knew there'd been a lot of political debate about this. I knew about gun safety and everything else. But at the end of the day, Alec Baldwin is just an actor. I don't think any actor, unless they're like Matthew, no actor should be responsible for the safety on the set. Hannah was the last line of defense between that gun and Helena. Like, that's the, I don't know. I personally think that's the takeaway from it. Like, I don't know how, even if he checked that gun, how he was supposed to know if that was a live round or a blank in it. I don't know.
Right. So,
yeah. Yeah. And I had no idea until researching this that it was a live round in that. I thought it was like a Bruce Lee situation, technical difficulties had happened. But no, now that I've looked at it, I'm like, it was just sheer negligence. And I don't think
that's why it's different for me. Like, the other one was negligence because they didn't clean the weapon and it shouldn't have had a projectile in the barrel. Like, it, that shouldn't have happened either. So there's negligence. But like, this is just outright, I feel like, criminal negligence, because she shouldn't have introduced live rounds, and that part is illegal, to introduce live rounds to a set.
So I'll be looking. I hope there's criminal charges filed. I do think Alex should be responsible for the civil suits that he's been laid, 100%, as he's also said. Yes, like, I firmly welcome, I knew this was going to happen, but I think there should be some criminal charges laid down. But you guys, let us know what you think. I will say, I did find this interesting. This is just a little tidbit. Just a month after the shooting in November of 2021, a lamp operator on the set, and he was also a pipe rigger, Jason Miller, he was bitten by a brown recluse spider.
What?
I know. Really? And he suffered necrosis as well as sepsis from this, was hospitalized and had, like, underwent multiple successful surgeries, thankfully. I know. So a lot of people have been thinking that this is one of these cursed sets. You heard about that in Hollywood. So spooky season's coming up. If you want us to go through some cursed sets of Hollywood, I mean, the Exorcist film is rife with that.
Crazy.
There's tons of, you know, cursed sets, onset deaths that are just strange and beyond the understanding. So if you want us to touch on that, we can. But this is currently still an ongoing investigation. We'll see what happens. We do have a Patreon that we're releasing today. So with updates and everything. So if you want to know more about this, I think we'll leave our updates possibly to Patreon of our current cases and everything that we can talk about on there.
There's so much extra we can't pack into 1 hour. We only get 1 hour a week. So
100%. Yeah. And I feel like, yeah, I think that would be a good place to put our additional, like, here's an update on this current case, or if there's anything about Taylor. We talked about Taylor Gruelle a few weeks ago, or anything like that. We'll make sure to pack it in there. But yeah, at the end of this, I did want to link to Helena's memorial fund. So we'll have that linked below, and we'll of course have all the sources concerning the interviews that I watched linked below that we talked about, in case you can't watch it here, or it'll be on my Instagram. All right. So we're at the end of this true crime, but until next time.
Cheers.
A Huda Media Production.